excellent movie adventures.
Welcome to another excellent movie adventure with me, Thomas, and my co-host, Pickle.
Hello.
How are you?
I am doing great.
Awesome. Our recording studio is looking a little bare. Pickle's in the middle of a move.
Yep. But I was just telling Thomas before I hit record, we might be in a new space next week.
Ooh.
So it'll be less echoey if this is echoey in here. I can't really tell, but I'm sure it probably will sound that way on the playback or whatever. But
yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. And then you'll see what that place actually looks like.
Yeah.
You drove past that one time. Oh, man.
I'll bet this episode, when we go back to listen to it, we'll just be like...
like the teacher from Charlie Brown.
Yeah. Yeah, just so much echo.
Wah, 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 wah. Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be a fun change, you know, scenery or whatever.
Sounds like a cool place.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I just, like... it's a cool place, but, like, given the amount of stuff that my family owns.
Yeah.
In the area of the house that we're occupying, it's like...
A little cramped.
Maybe a little cramped, yeah. So I might be in a situation where I have to, like, set this stuff up and then take it down each week, you know what I mean?
That's going to suck.
I don't know. We'll wait and see.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. Because I think I'm going to have to put it, like, in my room.
Oh.
And not, like, in a separate room like we have here, you know?
Yeah.
But... Because... Mostly because I don't want it in a place where, like, little kids are going to be, like, yanking on cords. And, like, that one time, you and I came in here and everything was turned all the way up.
Yeah.
And it almost made us deaf.
Yeah.
So that's because kids get at stuff and they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, but I think it'll still be, I think it'll be good.
Yeah.
Should like, be. I was, Lizzie and I were moving stuff into that room. So, as you can see, all my guitar equipment is gone.
Yeah.
All my movies are gone.
Oh.
They're already moved over there. So, all except for two, because I had to watch two movies this week. One that we watched, and then I had a friend who watched another one.
I was going to say, you had to?
Well, I had to watch this one. I had to rewatch it. The other one I didn't have to watch, but I watched it. I mean, I did, because I had a friend coming over to watch it. But anyway. It's got, like, bay windows, and so I've got, like, the guitar cabinets in the middle.
Yeah.
And then the movie cases that I already own on the left, and I'm going to have to buy and more now because I don't have, like, the built-in case that we do here to put on the right. So it'll be kind of cool because I'm thinking, like, setting this up right in front of it.
Yeah.
So there will be, like, this cool little thing. So if we ever record it, then we'll have, like, movies all around, and it could be cool looking.
Nice.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. Don't remember where I was headed with this story.
No idea.
Mm.
Excellent story podcast. Well, mediocre story.
Yeah. But it'll be cool, I think. Did you watch anything good this week?
I watched Chicken Little.
Oh, okay.
Which is the animated one?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on it?
You look I a little hate disappointed. That movie.
Really?
Yeah, I do not like it.
I remember watching it the first time when it first came out and I rented it. It's all right. I don't know. All right.
Yeah.
It got a lot of hate.
It's been a long time since I've actually seen it.
Yeah.
But I know that it's like streamable places and stuff. And it pops up from time to time.
Where was it? It was Disney Plus.
Okay. I think that's. I don't know who made it. Maybe it's a Disney movie.
I don't know if it was a Disney movie, but they have it now.
Yeah. I think that movie got watched a lot by Jay when
he
was little. And so I just.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever like. I maybe watched it all the way through once or twice.
Yeah.
But I've seen parts of it a million times. So I'm just like. If I never saw that movie again, it wouldn't bother me at all. So it could be a perfectly fine film.
Yeah. I remember.
Film.
Yeah.
Hints towards our movie later, but.
I watched it originally, and it was all right. And, you know, nothing spectacular, but, you know, kids wanted to watch something for movie night, and so picked that one because I was like, man, they might like it. Mm-hmm. It was actually a lot better than I remembered it, so it was fun. I liked it.
Yeah.
And I think the animation really holds up, and I think it was done in 2008, so fairly old movie, really.
Yeah. I remember the animation at the time looking pretty good. It's like... Yeah. You know, all the characters are kind of exaggerated, like some of them, like specifically Chicken Little has like a monstrous head or whatever, you know, but there's nothing that's like, it's not the kind of animation where it's meant to be like great looking. Yeah, it's just solid. It's just solid. Yeah, it's a solid looking movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I watched an animated movie this week also.
Yeah?
Moana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, watched it with Lilu. She fell asleep, and I just kept watching it.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's a great movie, dude. That movie's really good.
Yeah.
I kind of forget how great it is. I mean, I did forget how great it was. Like, for some reason, it just slips into that area of my mind where it's like,
it's just another Disney
movie. It's just another Disney movie. Yeah. But it's not, man. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really well done.
Yeah. I mean,
dude, I love that soundtrack.
Yeah, I haven't made a trip down, you know, like Disney movie princess land.
Oh, okay.
Although, I did watch some of Sleeping Beauty this week.
Okay.
I put it on for Lilu and then I left the room. Hmm. But then when I came back, she wasn't watching it and it was like still playing. And I watched some of it and then I turned it off. I don't know. I watched the part where like those fairies are like fighting over what color the dress is supposed to be. Okay, and they're like changing each colors.
Yeah.
The color of each other's dress. It's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not going to sit through the whole thing. Anyway, I haven't been down that road in a long time to watch many of the Disney princess films.
Yeah.
Although I do remember I like the mice in Cinderella. They're pretty funny.
Yeah, they're silly.
But yeah, Moana was solid, man. That movie is really funny.
Yeah.
So, and well cast.
Yeah.
The Rock is in that movie.
You don't say.
Yeah, so I watched that. I watched some South Park episodes.
Yeah.
Getting into the good stuff. I watched the Chin Pokemon episode this week.
Oh, okay.
That one's really funny. I've been watching Seinfeld with Falco during dinner time. That's what we were watching when you walked over. We just barely watched the Marble Rye episode, which is one of my all-time favorites.
Yeah.
Just the ending when George gets caught trying to bring that Marble Rye in through the window on a fishing line. That's so funny. Aside from that, what did I watch this? Oh, there's this Netflix documentary series. It's called Age of the Samurai, I think.
Oh, yeah. I put that on my list. It looked really interesting.
I started watching that. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah?
Yeah. My only complaint with it is really just a complaint with history. And that's the names of a lot of these people are like when they're from the same family, it's a slight twist on the same name.
It gets confusing, yeah.
Yeah. So if your name was, I don't know, Tokugawa or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be Tokigawa.
Yeah.
Or Tokiganawa or something. Like they're slightly different.
Yeah.
And so it's hard for me to remember who is who.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a pretty awesome documentary. It's pretty bloody also. Like, they don't shy away from the violence in it. But it's good, man. It's every time I put it on, it's interesting. I haven't finished it yet, but I'm at least 5 or 6 episodes deep.
Yeah.
The main guy from the first episode, that starts the documentary off, I made it past his part of the story.
Hmm.
Spoiler for history, but
yeah,
he doesn't make it all the way to the end of the documentary.
I don't think many of these people do.
Yeah, they probably don't. But yeah, it's pretty good. I definitely would recommend it. If you like documentaries at all, or you just want to see some sweet samurai stuff,
yeah,
it's pretty cool. the armor alone, just the way they look and stuff at different points, it's pretty rad.
Hmm. Oh, so speaking of, I know Bruce Lee is Chinese, not Japanese, but I learned that he died at age 32. I had no idea, and part of it was because he took out his sweat glands from underneath his arms, because he didn't like having sweaty armpits.
Hmm.
How ridiculous is that?
So I know his son was shot. I thought he died under some kind of strange circumstances too.
Yeah.
I know he was young.
Yeah. He was 32 and he had a headache. And so he's just like, I'm just going to go lay down and then died. And,
oh, weird.
Yeah. And because he had his sweat glands taken out of his body wasn't regulating its temperature well enough. So he's getting heat stroke constantly. He had him taken out 10 weeks before he died.
Why?
He didn't like having sweaty armpits.
That's
because he's filming movies and he didn't want those to show.
Well, he really blew it.
Yeah, you dumb.
A lot of people are going to be upset with you over that remark.
I don't care.
Dude, have you ever gotten into an argument with a Bruce Lee fan?
I don't care. Bruce Lee? He's stupid. He took out his sweat glands and died because of it.
Yeah, I'm not fighting you on it. I'm just saying, I've been into, people, I understand, Bruce Lee is an important figure in the history of martial arts and
In film.
Yeah, film, even like modern day, you know, mixed martial arts, all that kind of stuff. Like, he's a very important person. I get it.
Yeah.
But they act like he's like the end all be all and could destroy anyone. And I just don't believe it. I don't think Bruce Lee from back then could take on, like, for instance, I don't know, name any current big name in the UFC. I think they would smash him. You know what I mean? Yeah. And people just don't want to cede that ground.
Yeah, he's the god of everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you don't think people have improved on martial arts since then?
Yeah.
And found, like, new techniques? And
he was the best because he was improving on it.
Yeah, he was the best at his time.
Yeah.
But that doesn't last forever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't see it happening. And people don't, I don't know, they just refuse to let me win that argument, I guess. I think they're so upset because I have easily won the argument and they just don't want to admit it.
Mm-hmm.
I have this friend I work with. He's big into Bruce Lee. Yeah. And sometimes I will say something just to get a rise out of him because I know it bothers him.
Yeah.
When Once Upon a Time in Hollywood came out.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was like really upset about that scene where Bruce Lee gets the crap kicked out of him by Brad Pitt. And I think that's hilarious.
It's way funny.
It throws him
into the side of that car.
Yeah. And he's just like, that never happened. He's showing stuff that never happened. And it's like, dude, the whole thing is a twist on history.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you realize the end of that movie never really happened. Like, the lady who dies in real life lives through the end of the film.
Yeah.
Like, it's a work of fiction, my friend. It's not real. Like, you don't have to get all upset about it. But people are like mad, you know?
So I don't want to make this all about Bruce Lee, but that the fight that's based off of in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is because in real life, he wasn't pulling punches or anything. He was actually just beating the crap out of the stunt doubles. So they went and got a 2 or 3 time world champion of judo or whatever it was and had him be a stunt double. And he just picked him up in like a fireman's hold and just walked off the set with him and just kind of beat him up a little bit, which also then helped him decide he needed to change his fighting style like he was constantly doing. So that's how he started becoming the best. Also, he would have been a like title belt holding boxer if his dad would have let him. Apparently he was a phenomenal boxer.
Oh yeah, I believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, people from, like, you hear interviews with people like Chuck Norris, right?
Yeah.
And Chuck Norris is obviously a legitimate martial artist to some extent.
They were buddies.
Yeah, yeah. They were in that one movie together.
Yeah, his very last one.
Yeah, if a Chuck Norris fan is listening to this, or a Bruce Lee fan is listening to this,
I'm
spacing the name of it. They're going to get upset. But it's like his most famous role. It's where he fights Chuck Norris at the end, and he rips his chest hair out, and it's like in his hands. That's a cool movie.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen it, but I've always remembered that fight scene. Super memorable, really well choreographed.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. It's choreographed because it's not real. It's a movie.
They didn't really just fight it out?
Another thing I'm just going to keep on the Bruce Lee train. People say is like, you know, they had to like speed up the film to capture all of his movements and stuff because he was too fast for the camera for Bruce Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, that's because technology wasn't as good as it is now.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason why they don't have to do that when like Jet Li or Jackie Chan does something.
Mm-hmm.
Because technology is better.
And I guess it was actually just the standard for when people were fighting to
speed
just,
it up.
Yeah,
a lot of movies have that look to them, you know, where
and
like everything moves a little quicker.
That's exactly why, because they were doing it slow, so they make sure they hit their marks and everything and just speed them up.
Yeah. Anyway, Bruce Lee fans need to chill out, bruh. So you know how I'm like collecting playing cards and stuff?
Yeah.
I almost bought a set of Bruce Lee cards this week.
Yeah.
They're in my, like, I added them to like my list of ones I want to buy.
Yeah.
Because I buy like a bunch at a time, you know?
Yeah.
I'll probably buy them. They're pretty cool.
You might as well.
They're pretty cool. Let's see. Aside from that, I also watched, I guess that was it. Besides the movie that we actually watched this week.
Oh, you said you watched a movie with your friend.
Oh, yeah, Mad Max.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I watched
Which
Mad
one?
Max. Fury Road.
Nice.
Yeah, the newest one.
It's a good one.
It's great.
I like it. Did you watch the Chrome edition?
No, I still didn't watch it because he had never seen it before.
Oh.
So I was going to recommend that we watch like black and white because I've never seen it that way. But he had never seen it. And I think...
You could have just told him, like, this is how it is.
Yeah, I guess I could have gotten away with it. But I feel like part of the beauty of that film is the color.
Yeah, the like contrasting color.
Yeah, and like the orange sand and just how like blue the sky is at the same time. What a gorgeous film. Mm-hmm. So good. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, I watched one other thing on Netflix. It was like a little competition TV series, I guess. It's called, what was it? Not Cabin in the Woods. Something similar to that. Woodland Cabins, I think is what it was.
Oh, okay.
And it was just supposed to be, I thought from the description it was going to be going around these cool cabins in the woods. And like, I want to buy a cabin. It'd be fun. So I was, you know, daydreaming. Started up. It's a competition. These people are supposed to be building these tiny little cabins that can fit on a flatbed trailer and then take them to the woods and plop them out there somewhere. I was very disappointed. It was not what I was expecting. But I ended up watching a lot of it. And it's actually pretty interesting what these people can do.
Huh.
Like, one of them, they made this giant tower. It was really cool. And then the beds in the top of it, it's like 16 feet tall. And then it's just glass all the way around in the forest. It's cool looking.
Huh.
And one made like a dragon. It seems like
that wouldn't hold heat very well if it's just glass.
In England. Yeah.
Well, yeah. But,
I mean, they have a chimney in there and then, you know, the flute or whatever goes up. So it heats everything just fine. Flume. I think that's what. Flume? For the chimney? I think so. Whatever. The exhaust pipe.
For the chimney.
And then there's one guy who made it based off of like a dragon's eye. It was pretty sweet looking. Huh. So there's some cool looking little things in there, but drastically different than what I thought it was going to be. But it was cool.
Nice.
I'd recommend it if you got some time to kill.
It seems like there was something else that recently popped up on Netflix that I added to my queue. I watched this movie a little while ago. I think maybe we talked about it last week. Did I tell you about The Prospector?
Mm-hmm.
Like a Western set in space kind of movie?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I won't talk about it again then.
Good.
But people should check it out because it's pretty good.
Okay. Now it's time to get in our movie of the week.
That's right. What movie did we watch, Thomas?
In Bruges.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's in a good Bruges. I really like this movie.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So this movie was made back in 2008. For those of you who don't know, In Bruges, B-R-U-G-E-S, it's the name of a city in a foreign country.
Yeah.
Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this movie is rated R, stars a great cast, in my opinion.
There's really only three people.
For the most part. Colin Farrell, of course, Brendan Gleeson, and Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
Is his name, does he go by Ray Fiennes sometimes? I thought it was Ray Fiennes.
I thought it was Ralph Fiennes. So.
Maybe he goes by both.
Maybe he's got a brother.
Maybe he does. I'm going to look it up real quick. Ray Fiennes. It was Googleable. It brings up Ralph Fiennes.
Maybe it's a nickname. Like James and Jim. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'm not going to look up the history of who calls him Ray and who calls him Ralph. I was about to go down that rabbit hole. Like, why does this? Where does this come from? But it's the same guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, essentially, I guess, well, I suppose maybe we should go over how this film did.
Yeah.
I know it was a limited release, so it didn't get a wide cinematic release. Yeah, it was kind of like a limited and then rolling release. Okay. So like as time went on, it hit more theaters. Mm. But initially, it only came out in like a small handful. I was looking it up on Wikipedia earlier. No, I don't remember the number, but it was tiny. I want to say it was like 8 theaters it started with.
Jeez.
And then they doubled to 16 and then like 32. Oh, okay. And then by the end of its run, it had played in like 160 theaters across the U.S. or something like that, which isn't a lot.
No, it's tiny.
But anyway, it was filmed on a budget of $15 million. The opening weekend, it in the entire U.S., it said it made $460,000. So not a lot.
Yeah.
And then, anyway, its worldwide gross ended up being $34 million. So, I mean, it made its money back.
Yeah.
But yeah, it had an odd release, but it got great.
Weird.
It had great, like, critical reviews. Mm-hmm. And so the article that I was reading saying that like article, it was Wikipedia. I just told you. Anyway, basically it was just saying that like, because of the great critical reviews it got from like the Post and the Times and all these places, that kind of helped propel interest in it.
Yeah.
And people saw it and then word of mouth kind of caught on and it just spread.
So. I heard about it from the movie show on KSL that they do on Fridays. And it was like, what was it? Things to rent or things coming out to rent. And I was like, oh, that sounds interesting. And I got it. It was really good.
I saw this movie a long time ago.
Yeah.
For the life of me, I cannot remember how it crossed my radar at all.
Yeah.
I had to go and purchase this movie this week. Because last week, remember, we were going to go and look and then we forgot. When I was boxing up all my movies this week, I was like, oh, yeah, I got to remember to hold that one out so that I watch it this week.
Yeah.
And I didn't have it. And I was like, Lizzie, do you know we don't have it in Bruges? And she didn't believe it. She had to come and look for herself. Really? Like, because I've seen it more than once.
Yeah.
And like, I'm familiar with what the box art looks like. Yeah. So I don't know if I just lost it somewhere or what happened.
So the same thing happened to me. I know I bought this at one point and I was looking through all my movies, couldn't find it anywhere. And I was like, what in the heck? Because I know I watched it at my house multiple times. Yeah. It's just gone. Like little leprechauns.
Maybe it was just on Netflix and I watched it multiple times when it was on there. I don't know. But
I don't know. I ended up watching it actually on Peacock. It's free.
Oh, yeah, right now?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I am aware of that. And I was at the time, but
yeah.
I got that message from Entertain Mart that they were turning their president sale back on. So it was like the buy two, get one free. So I was like, well, I'll just go buy some movies.
Yeah. So I went in there to see if they had it and I couldn't find it. You probably just beat me.
They had two copies of it when I was there.
Oh, okay.
And I bought one of them. Hmm. The one that was in good condition.
Yeah.
The other one looked hammered.
Yeah.
I picked Jay up from school and then we went like straight there.
Yeah.
So he had to hang out with me while I was like looking for movies because I knew I needed that one, but I had to get two more because of the deal, right?
Yeah.
So then I'm like wandering around looking for other movies.
Aimlessly wandering.
Yeah. And I have a list of films on my phone that like, you know, I want to add to the collection or stuff I want to see, that kind of stuff. I don't even remember what else I bought. But I know that they're, I bought Jeff Who Lives at Home for sure. Okay. Because that movie was in like an old Blockbuster rental DVD case, even though it's a Blu-ray. So it's like oversized, but they had it shrink wrapped and it had the sleeve from the Blu-ray in it. And, anyway, I had an empty Blu-ray disc case upstairs. Yeah. So when I got home, I took it out and put it in there. So now it looks like I have an actual, like it looks just like regular one. Blu-ray. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what the other movie was, but I remember being upset. I think when I opened it up on the inside of it, it had like whoever, because it was on the used stuff, was buy two, get one. I think it had somebody's name written on the inside. And that bugs the crap out of me when that happens. Like, why can't people just take care of their movies, dude? Like, like you put books on a shelf.
Yeah.
You put your movies on a shelf. You don't like, they have food and stuff on them. I don't understand what's going on. There's like crud on them.
Yeah.
So I got to like clean.
I thought you just meant people writing on their name on the disc.
Oh yeah, that too. That bothers the crap out of me because you can't see it when you're at the store. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to open it up and then on the inside, it's like, the Jensens. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
stupid Jensens.
Yeah. I don't know.
Why are you buying movies to
sell? If I owned a secondhand movie store and somebody came in, I like opened that thing up, and if it had somebody's name written on it, I'd be like, sorry, can't buy this. I don't know.
Miss out on a lot of sales.
I don't think they would. I don't think most people do that.
No, but I mean, if you're, yeah.
Like, it doesn't happen often. I think I do own like two films in my entire collection up there that have somebody else's name written on them. Because of that.
I don't get why people even write their name on the disc, because if you're lending it out to someone, they have it. You don't know it's gone now. Yeah. Like, they're just going to be, oh, I need to give this back to, you know, the Jacobs or whatever. Like, you've had it so long, you've forgotten about it, you're not giving it back.
Just, yeah, regardless of whose name is on it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's just yours now.
Oh, man. And then, like, what if you have, like, a friend who has that same last name?
Yeah.
And they're going to watch it with them? Mm-hmm. It's, like, not even the same Jensens. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're just like, hey, is that ours?
It's got my name on it.
And then you're like, no, it's not yours. It's mine. I bought it. It just has somebody else's name in it. Happens to be your last name, but it's not your last name. It's somebody else's last name. It's just the same last name. Hypothetical situations I'm getting myself into here.
You've been watching too much Seinfeld. You're trying to force it into it.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Back to our movie.
Yeah. So, the basic plot of this film is Colin Farrell and I just forgot his name. Gleason. What's his name? Brendan Gleeson.
Yeah, Brendan.
They are hitmen who work for the Irish mob, I guess.
Yeah, they're just Irish hitmen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I assume it's the Irish mob because they're both Irish.
Yeah.
But then they got like Ralph Fiennes playing like the boss and he's not. But he doesn't even have the Irish accent.
No. No, he doesn't. So originally the two main characters were supposed to be English as well. But then they brought on these two Irish actors. So they're just like, they're Irish.
It's close enough.
Yeah.
Anyway, they go to do this hit. And it goes horribly wrong. And so they end up having to hide out in somewhere. And the town Bruges was picked, I don't know, by who. Or the boss picks it. By the boss,
because he loves it.
And
then,
And they're there. And Brendan Gleeson loves all the, like, medieval architecture and, like, the vibe of the town. And And Colin Farrell hates it. He hates everything about it. It's, like, dull and boring and ugly.
He just wants to go do drugs and party.
He wants to go have fun. But they're there hiding out until the heat blows over from this hit that they went on. And Ralph Fiennes is their boss. And he comes to town when he finds out a job that he wanted done a certain way was done wrong or not done or whatever. So.
Yeah, don't really want to give away too much of it, but I don't know. It's 12 years old.
Yeah, I suppose we could probably just give away the main plot points. Anyway, spoilers coming in right now. This is your warning. If you don't want to hear them, then skip ahead to a timestamp that I'm not gonna. Yeah, we'll say 10 minutes or so. Yeah. So, Colin Farrell goes to meet this priest, and he's like in a confessional booth.
Which is an awesome scene.
It is a great scene. He's talking to this priest about his confession, and he's basically, "Hey, I've killed someone, you know, in cold blood, and I did it for money." And he, you know, asks him like how he feels about the situation or whatever, and he doesn't seem to be very remorseful at all.
Yeah.
And then he's like, "Well, who was it?" And he said, "It's you." At which point, he just shoots him right through the wall of the confessional booth, and the priest stumbles out. At which point, Colin Farrell just walks out behind him and continues to blast away at him.
The priest is running to, like, the main chapel area or whatever, through a doorway, and then Colin Farrell's blasting him from the back. And there's a fatality, unintended.
Yeah, unintended fatality takes place. That's why they tell you in gun safety, you always check to see what's behind whatever you're shooting at. There's someone there who gets shot.
Well, I mean, we're doing spoilers. We can say
A little boy is there.
Gets grazed right across the forehead.
So I thought, was it a graze or was it a bullet hole? Because it looked like a hole to me.
Because the kid was on the pews. Yeah,
he's not facing them.
Yeah, he's faced towards the front. And the
they're coming in from the side.
It shows it. Yeah, it's like grazed through the front, like blows out the front part of his forehead.
Okay. That makes sense. Because that was going to be the next thing I brought up. Was like, it shows a bullet hole through his head, but he's not looking where the bullets are coming from.
Yeah, no.
But then I was like thinking to myself, he would have heard the first shot. So he would have looked in that direction and then maybe got hit and it whips his head back around. I don't know, you know, who knows, but that would make sense if it just like went through the very front part of his forehead, like sideways. That would make sense. Still, like,
he was in the middle of his prayer, it looked like, so he
could, right, but one loud gunshot, I feel like you should be hitting the deck.
You're not a true Catholic, that's the problem.
Yeah, I guess that's the problem. Anyway, so he kills this priest, accidentally kills this kid. Gleason shows up and is like, "Dude, we got to get out of here.
Yeah,
you know, we got to go. So he drags Colin Farrell out of there, and they hit the road.
Yeah. And at that point when Colin Farrell sees him, he's already starting to have a breakdown just immediately.
Yeah. Well, heavy situation. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he didn't get into this business to be killing kids or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. He got in it because it was a way to earn money and, you know, I don't know.
I don't remember. They say
he assumed he'd be a bad guy killing other bad guys.
Yeah,
is what he says later on. But
yeah.
Anyway, they so take off. That's why
they have to go to Bruges,
right? Yeah. So I assume Gleason reports what happened.
Well, yeah.
To the boss, Ray Fiennes, mm-hmm. Ralph Fiennes, and he tells him, "All right, we'll go to Bruges and lay low
mm-hmm.
for a little bit." So they go there. We don't know that when the movie starts.
Yeah, they're just in Bruges for whatever
reason. Yeah, they just show up, and basically Gleason is talking about how great this town is and just how cool everything looks. And Colin Farrell is just complaining immediately.
Yeah.
My favorite scene early on is when they go to that tower. Yeah, they go to the tower, and Gleason wants to go up there and see the view. And he's like, doesn't care about doing that. He's like, no, I'm not walking all the way up there just to look what's at this stupid there? Town.
It's the view. I can see the view from down here.
Yeah, what's the view of? Well, the view of the street. I can see the street from here. So he just is like, I'll just sit on this bench and wait for you. So Gleason goes to go up the tower, and he's 10 cents short of the $5 that it takes to go to the top of the tower. So he has to break a 20 or whatever. No, it's a
50. The guy, it sounds like he doesn't have any.
50 euros, yeah.
It doesn't sound like he has any. He's like, $4.90 okay? And the guy taps like, $5.
Yeah, the guy working the booth
is a jerk.
He's a jerk.
But it's funny. He's like, are you sure $4.90 is not okay? It says $5.
Yeah.
All right.
He's digging that change out of his pocket for like a solid minute. Yeah, too.
Counting it all out by pence or whatever.
Right. So he goes up there, and it kind of pans back to Colin Farrell. He's watching everybody kind of on the street. And finally, Gleason gets to the top. He's like looking around, sees, you know, you can see that he's enjoying the view thoroughly or whatever. Like, oh man, this is a gorgeous little town and all the architecture and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, down below, this American family shows up, and they're more heavy-set group of individuals.
And not just heavy-set. They're more than heavy-set.
Yeah. There's some... Specifically, the dad character is really big. Anyway, they're walking over to the tower, and like they're going to go up there, and Colin Farrell's like, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And he's like, oh, why? Why is that? And he's like, well, you know, it's quite the climb, you know? And he's like, what are you trying to say? And he's like, well, I mean, you're basically an elephant, bro. Like, I don't remember what he says exactly, but he calls him an elephant. Yeah. And the guy gets mad, and he's like, what are you going to do about it? So the guy, like, takes a swing at him, and he's, like, slowly backpedaling and walking away as the guy is chasing him. And he's like, come on, man, you're not really going to catch me. Like, I'm way better shape than you.
Yeah.
And the daughter and the mom are watching this guy, like, swing at Colin Farrell as he's like just walking backwards slightly faster than you would normally walk while this guy's like struggling to catch him and just dodging all of his shots or whatever, you know, and he's just like, see, you think you're gonna walk all the way up all those stairs? You can't even catch me. I'm not even running. And anyway, so finally they give up, and he's just like,
they're headed towards the tower.
Yeah, they're headed towards the tower, and Gleason's coming out, and he's a little heavier guy. Bigger guy, and he's like, oh, I wouldn't do that if I were you guys. And they look back at him, and Colin Farrell's like, ah, I wouldn't say it. Don't say anything. And he's just like, it's pretty narrow. Talking about the stairwell, and the guy's just, like, the family is just so mad. Yeah,
they start walking away, flipping them off, and then the daughter turns around, F you!
Yeah. And Gleason has no idea that Colin Farrell just insulted them and was, like, playing catch me if you can, basically, with them around the park bench.
I like how Gleason looks like, what's their problem? Yanks.
Just blames it on him being American. Oh, man. That is hilarious. Anyway, they go... At that point, they just kind of go back to the hotel room. Colin Farrell wants to go out and go to the bar, do something fun. And Gleason's, like, not letting him do anything.
Yeah. It's the first day they're there. And so they're like...
They're supposed to be waiting for a call. Yeah,
a phone call. And he's not going to call. It's the first day. We could be here for 2 weeks. He's not going to call the first night. So then they go out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then their boss calls that night. Uh-huh. He leaves that long expletive written message with the
lady at the front desk.
Yeah, the front desk.
The pregnant lady at the front desk. Well, it's her hotel. I guess she owns it. You know, I really like her as a character.
Yeah.
Like, you don't learn a ton about her, but she's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Like, she's this, she's obviously like this strong-willed person.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, the gunfight that doesn't take place in the hotel. That is so hilarious. But she's funny. All the interactions, mm-hmm. like she's kind of like not wanting to pry too much into Colin Farrell's business.
Yeah.
Cause I think he snaps at her the first time, mm-hmm. like says something about her being alone and pregnant in this hotel, people, strangers coming in and out of it or whatever. And Gleason is trying to be like nice, you mm-hmm. know? Which seems to be their dynamic, is they're like a hitman team, and Colin Farrell is like this brash,
unsympathetic and caring.
Yeah, kind of character. It's almost like he's Han Solo and Gleason is Chewbacca. If that's like kind of a similar analogy. Like Gleason is this like friendly, you know,
happy-go-lucky
guy. Yeah, he's gonna make he's gonna schmooze people and like, you know.
Yeah.
He's the guy where like they come into like this hotel and she has no idea they're hitmen because mm-hmm. he's so nice.
Yeah.
You know, like she doesn't suspect them of being criminals.
Yeah.
But like Colin Farrell doesn't care, man. He's shooting from the hip loosey goosey, like with his words. Yeah. You know?
Well, I mean, and with his gun.
Yeah.
That's how it got him into this.
Anyway, I like the dynamic between them a lot. Like, I feel like, we didn't even cover the writer director. Martin McDonagh, who did the Seven Psychopaths and
He did.
Yeah, we talked about that when we covered that movie.
Did we? Probably did.
Yeah,
I totally forgot.
He did something else too. Here, I'll pull it up while we're in the middle of this.
Seven Psychopaths, also starring Colin Farrell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Seven Psychopaths, In Bruges, and Three Billboards.
Oh yeah,
yeah. There's another movie listed here that he wrote called Six Shooter, but I've never seen or heard of it. I'll click on it real quick and see who's in it. See if it looks interesting. Brendan Gleeson is in it. That looks like about it that I recognize anyway.
Hmm.
Off a quick scroll. That's the only person I recognize. A black and bloody Irish comedy about a sad train journey where an older man, his wife died died that morning, encounters a strange and possibly psychotic young oddball. Well, given the other movies on this list,
they've been really
it
good.
Interests me.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm going to add it to my list right now.
Was that his first thing
since
he did?
Since 2004. I don't know. Let me go back to his credits real quick. Writing. All right. Filmography as a writer. He has 9 credits. It is the first.
Okay.
Oh, it's a short.
I was going to say, it might not be the greatest if it's his a short, first, but...
This is his first full.
Huh.
Full length, In Bruges. The Beauty Queen of Oh, that's a TV movie. And then another short called The Pillow Man. So his first two full length films is In Bruges and Seven Psychopaths.
Hmm.
And then 3 Billboards. Wow. That's it.
Yeah.
There's an untitled Martin McDonagh project right now in pre-production. Hmm. Let's see what happens if I click on it. We get any details. Cast. Colin Farrell, Brendan Gleeson. That's the rumored cast.
That's funny.
It says here, a pair of lifelong friends on a remote Irish island find themselves at an awkward time in their relationship when one of them is no longer wants to be friends. Huh. Weird. I'll check it out once it's done, if it ever gets done.
Yeah.
Right now, anything that's like pre-production, like this is super early on, just kind of rumors, but I have my doubts about it ever getting made.
Yep.
Anything that falls into that description, not just because of this. This guy's batting 100, man.
Yeah.
Knocking him out of the park so far. What were you saying?
I don't know. I was just going to say the next part I like is when he goes and meets that girl and he's walking around the city. Oh, I guess before that, when he's just like, oh, I just want to go out. And so Brendan Gleeson tells him to get out of here. And then the boss calls that next night. And he's like, where were you the first time? He's like, we had to go down and get some food. Just missed your phone call. Then he's ripping into him. And so then he's
so
like,
the blonde girl, is she working on the movie also? Or is that two different girls?
No, it's the same girl.
Oh, okay.
She's working on the movie, but also like swindling people.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so the boss calls and he's like, well, make sure Ray's not there. Isn't it Ray? Or do you have him backwards?
I'll look it up real quick.
But Brendan Gleeson's the guy answering the phone.
Yeah, wants Ray.
To make sure Ray, Colin Farrell's not there. And he already knows he's not there, but you know, just in case he was supposed to be there, he's like, he's in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. He's like pretending that Ray is there, yeah, even though he's not there. Because they're supposed to both be waiting. Mm-hmm. And he's like, just send him out or whatever. So he's like holding the phone against his chest, having to muffle the speech, having a fake conversation. And then he walks over to the door, opens the door, closes the door.
Yeah.
He goes back. All right, he's gone. We'll make sure that he's really gone, that he actually left. He left. Trust me. He went out the door. And he's like, well, go make sure. So he has to walk over. He could be
listening
over
to the door.
Yeah. So he has to walk over, open the door again, look down the hallway.
Comes back over. Yep, he's gone.
Yeah.
He's been gone all night.
Yeah, that's so right. Funny. He never came home. Yeah. That first night, what they go to do is they have, like, dinner in the town square.
Yeah.
That's what they end up doing because he sees this movie that's in production, they're filming there because of all the cool,
the lights and stuff.
Yeah. Lights and the architecture, like all the Gothic architecture stuff. And, they see that girl, the blonde girl, mm-hmm. and he decides he's going to hit on her. The movie stars a little person.
Yeah.
But he decides he's going to hit on this girl. Oh yeah. What's that guy's
name? He's super familiar, but I don't,
I don't see him. Well, I don't see a picture of him listed in the credits here.
It's Jordan Prentice.
But I didn't open the whole thing.
No.
I'm just looking at the highlighted cast.
He was in Howard the Duck, Mirror, Mirror, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, The Jester from Transylvania. Nothing really big.
Hmm. Well, Howard the Duck, Harold and Kumar, those are decently, like, people have seen them.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm not saying they're masterpieces. I'm just saying people have seen them.
Ton of horror movies. Mm. Anyway.
As a goblin or something, probably.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because they're scary.
Anyway, he decides he's going to hit on this girl. She initially doesn't really want anything to do with him, right? She brushes him off. So they go back defeated. Then the next day, the second night, that's what happens. They have that. He has that phone call where he has to fake the phone call. Which at this point we find out what's happened is Gleason obviously told him what happened, that he shot that kid by accident. And Ralph Fiennes decides that the organization he's running isn't going to tolerate that large of a mistake.
Yeah.
Nobody's killing kids on his watch and getting away with it, essentially. Mm-hmm. So he sends them to Bruges while he figured out what they were going to do. He's arranged to get a gun to Ken, so Gleason's character, and have him take out Colin Farrell as punishment, essentially.
Yep.
So he goes to get the gun from the shop.
Yeah.
The guy, the arms dealer who lives there. Yeah, the Ukrainian.
Is it Ukrainian or Polish? I don't remember.
He might just be Belgian. I don't know.
No, he's got a specific name. I'll find out.
Okay, yeah, you look it up. Anyway, he goes there. Meanwhile, Colin Farrell has now actually met up with this blonde girl and has started dating her and kind of made acquaintances with the midget.
Yeah.
And they're kind of friends. Like, they're doing drugs together and partying, but, like, he goes to take the drugs and he, like, karate chops him on the neck.
No, that's after. So they go back to the girl's place, and that's where
that's right.
The boyfriend breaks in.
Yeah.
Or ex-boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend, because they used to hold people up and rob them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And and so the ex-boyfriend pulls a gun on him, and Colin Farrell takes it from him, and he goes, oh, it's just blanks. It's from when we used to rob people together. And what does he do?
He shoots, he fires it off, like, right in his face.
Yeah, but the guy says something to him, and he says, they're blanks. And so he shoots at the wall, nothing happens. And, you know, Colin Farrell's pissed off, and so he just runs up to the guy and blasts it in his face. Just ridiculous.
It blinds the guy.
Yeah, and blinds him. But he does something. He, like, punches him or whatnot. He comes after him, and then,
well, yeah, when he gets the gun away from him, he hits him in the throat or something like that.
Yeah, and so then he shoots him, and that comes into play later. And that whole scene was funny. So then the girl takes him to the hospital, and then Colin Farrell's going through her stuff.
Because she says, we weren't doing this anymore. I told him not to come over tonight, but he came over anyway. Hang out here, and I'll be back.
Yeah, so he just starts going through her stuff, finds a ton of drugs.
So he takes him over to go hang out with the midget guy.
Yeah.
and they're doing drugs. And
no, he goes to the bar to meet Brendan Gleeson's character, and he's like, I found some coke. I want some coke. And he's like, yeah, give me some coke. And then they see the little person, and then he's like, do you want to do drugs? Because he's trying to get this guy's attention, the little person, and be his friend, because he's just unique and wants a little person friend. And so then they're like, yeah, drugs. And then they go up to the hotel room or whatever. And,
And then he gets into it. They get into an argument because the little person is racist. He's talking about racist. Like an impending race war.
Yeah, between the whites and the blacks.
Yeah. And Gleason is telling him about how, like, well, my wife was black.
Yeah.
And she was murdered by a white guy or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, where do I fall in your race war or whatever? Mm-hmm. And he like doesn't know what to say, so he gets up to leave.
Yeah. He's
like, I'm not going to hang out with this racist dwarf. And at that point, they go to leave, and he doesn't want him to go with the drugs or whatever.
Yeah.
And Colin Farrell just karate chops him in the neck. He falls on the ground.
Well, he goes, and he has his hand up. He's like, you don't know karate, and chops him. And he's like, ah!
Oh, man.
So funny.
That is really funny.
Oh, one part we forgot to talk about is Colin Farrell's on the date with the blonde girl, and they're at the restaurant, and the girl's smoking and blowing the smoke off to the side, and there's people at the table next to him, and the guy's just freaking out a little bit under his breath, and then the girl gets up to go to the bathroom or whatever, and he's unbelievable. And then Colin Farrell and the guy get into it, and he says, did you say unbelievable? He's like, yeah. Blowing smoke in my face. You're sitting in the smoking section, dude. And she's like, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't want smoke blowing in my face. He's like, well, whatever. And then they get in a fight.
I mean, the guy's not, in my opinion, he's not wrong. It is rude to blow smoke into somebody else's face.
But if you're sitting in the smoking section,
the odds of smoke in your area are pretty great.
Yeah. You shouldn't have been sitting there. Anyway, so.
I mean, who knows why they were sitting there? Like, I don't recall the rest of the restaurant, but, like, is it that packed that they had to fill the smoking section?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there was a lot of other people around, but it wasn't...
Because, like, why would you volunteer to sit in the smoking section unless it was full? You know what I mean? So I'm sure they were there. They probably took that seat because the rest of the restaurant was full.
Either way.
I mean, you got to know what you're getting into.
Yeah. Either way, Colin Farrell, being the short-tempered guy, punches the dude in the face and goes, that's for John Lennon, because he thinks the guy's American, and then they have to leave, and that comes into play later.
Yeah, it turns out he's Canadian.
Yeah. Right? It's like, oh, crap, he's Canadian.
And he beats up his wife, too.
Yeah.
Because after
she gets a bottle.
And she swings a bottle at him.
She's a bottle? And punches her in the face.
He tries not to do anything at first. Like, when she gets up, he's like, hey, I don't want any trouble. But, like, then she swings the bottle at him, so he just nails her. And she comes back and is, like, super frightened. And he's like, I don't hit women. I would never hit a woman. But she swung at me. Yeah. She swung at me with a bottle. That's self-defense.
Yeah.
Specifically, all the dialogue for Colin Farrell's character is really pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Like, the way he interacts with all the people around him. Yeah,
just goofy.
Yeah, it's goofy, but also you get this sense that he just really is, like, he never thinks things through, you know? Which kind of is the reason why, like, if he had thought things through, really, like, that, the hit at the very beginning of the movie probably would have gone better.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't be in the situation he's in now.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's constantly, like, doing things without thinking them through and getting himself into, like, deeper problems, you know? And that's the situation as the movie progresses. It just goes further and further and further.
Yeah. I do like how throughout the film... Colin Farrell just seems kind of like the crazy guy, whatever, just living his life. But there's moments where he's stopping and he's thinking about why they're there. And he starts to kind of break down and show real emotion, which I thought was great for his character and throughout this whole film, really.
Yeah. His character is really well developed throughout the film.
Yeah. And what happens to that little kid, the reason why they're there, really weighs heavy on him. And it starts to show it, which is, I thought, really good.
Yeah. Part of the reason why he is... wanting to be distracted the whole time, so he's not thinking about what happened on that hit. And that's kind of why he's there with Gleason, is to keep him preoccupied.
Yeah.
Like, Fiennes sent them there so he could have fun, you know, yeah. and get his mind off of things.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing with the phone call with the boss. Is like, he super loves Bruges, like, just amazed by it. And that was just a fun conversation when they're all talking about it. Is he having a good time? Well, it's not really his cup of tea. What does he mean he's not? It's not his cup of tea? Did you not see the swans, the channels? It's
like, oh, yeah, he loves Bruges, yeah. Anyway, shortly after that, we were saying Colin or Gleason goes to buy the gun from the arms dealer. And, you know, he's like, here's this. And Fine said that you might also need this. And he hands him a silencer. You know, nature of things or whatever. So he goes back to find Colin Farrell, who's not back at the apartment. So he goes like off looking for him. Thinks he might have gone over to the park, so we could see him off in the distance. He's sitting there on the park bench, and he still has that gun that he got from the mugger. And he's coming up from behind him, and he's raising the gun to shoot Colin Farrell in the back of the head. Colin Farrell doesn't see him coming, obviously. He's staring in the opposite direction, but he's struggling with the consequences of how he feels from having accidentally killed that little kid. And so he's going to kill himself.
Yeah, because he did find real bullets in that girl's apartment.
Yeah, he found real bullets in the apartment. Yeah. So he puts that gun up to his head. And as Gleason's about to kill him, he sees that happening. And he's like, whoa, what are you doing? Put the, put the gun down. Stops him from killing himself. Which just goes to show, like, I don't think he ever would have pulled the trigger. Because they're legitimately friends. You know what I mean? Like, you definitely get that. Yeah, you definitely get that from their interactions with one another. They very much seem to care about one each other. Yeah, for sure. You know? So even though he's there to, like, kill him, I don't think he would have ever actually pulled the trigger. And then they kind of have this odd exchange. Because he's like,
Colin Farrell sees him holding the gun.
Well, he's like, what are you doing? He's like, here to shoot myself. What are you doing?
Why do you have a gun?
And he puts the gun behind his back, like he's just gonna hide it.
He's like, I don't have a gun. Was that a silencer? No.
So he comes clean and tells him, you know, you know, we're here in Bruges so that you could enjoy your last few days. At which point, Colin Farrell gets really upset because he's like, in Bruges? Why would he send me here? This place sucks. Oh man, it's awful. So dreadful, everything about it. And so they're just talking with one another, and he's like, look, man, I couldn't do it. I couldn't let you do it to yourself. You need to go start over somewhere, get a fresh start. What happened was an accident. Could have happened to anybody, you know. So buys him a train ticket and tells him he needs to leave town. You know, just leave. I'll tell him it's done. Then you disappear and, you know, start a new life somewhere or whatever. So he gets him on the train, sends him out of Bruges. So he's leaving.
Well, as the train's leaving, he has the boss on the phone, and he says, do you hear that? As the train's leaving, he goes, he's on a train somewhere. You'll never find him again.
Does he tell him that then? I thought he tells him that when he shows up later.
Okay. That's why he shows up, because he didn't kill him. And
that makes sense. That makes sense. So, yeah, he tells him what he did. He let him go or whatever. So. Fiennes has to go to Bruges
to kill him,
to kill Gleason both of them. And find out where Farrell has gone, because he needs to finish the job of what's happened, essentially. So he shows up, and he goes to this hotel where they're supposed to be staying, and in the courtyard outside the hotel, Gleason is there having dinner or a drink or whatever. He's just sitting there.
He's just in town. He waves to him.
So he waves to him, and Fiennes comes over and sits down, and they have this funny little conversation about, like, you know, what the consequences should be for these, you know, his actions or whatever is going on. And they're just talking about it, like, pretty plain as day, essentially. And at some point, does he use the C word? Is that what he calls him and his family? Anyway, basically, he's like, you know, I couldn't do it. And, you know, your tone doesn't really help either. You know, you're a real dickhead. You've always been a dickhead. Your kids are dickheads. And he's like, whoa. You leave my kids out of this. You take that back. So he's like, all right, you're right. I went a little too far. I am sorry. I take it back. like they have this kind of semi-friendly conversation.
Yeah, they're real buddy-buddy. And one thing that they talk about in the hotel room when he says that his wife was murdered by a white guy, the little guy asks him, so did you kill that guy? And he goes, no, my friend did. And
Ray Fiennes
is the friend who killed the guy that killed his wife. And so, yeah, he said that he's my best friend. And so they're all buddy-buddy, everyone. Mm. And so, yeah, he knows the family. So he's like, whoa. But, yeah, so then they start going off, and they're talking about the arms dealer. Mm-hmm. It's like, alcoves.
When Fiennes first gets to town, he has to go get a gun. Because, you know, in Europe, having a gun is illegal. You're not allowed to own them. So they all have to get them from this illegal arms dealer when they need them. So he goes there to get one, and he's talking to this guy. And the mugger from earlier in the film is there to get a new gun because Colin Farrell took his. Yeah. And he just only has one eye now because his other guy got shot out by the blank.
Yeah.
And so they're, like, talking about the conversation that the arms dealer had with Gleason earlier on.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, what's going on with this blind kid here? And he's just like,
oh yeah, your boy blinded him.
Yeah, your boy blinded him. And he's like, my guy blinded him or whatever. And he tells him like what happened. And he's like, well, it sounds like that was your own fault, bro.
He's like, well, I started a fight with him and he took my gun and shot me. He took your gun after you started the fight? That's your fault. What? It's your
fault. First off, you're mugging somebody with blanks. So you don't
like. You don't mean it.
You don't mean it. You don't have a means of defending yourself. You allow him to get close enough to you to hit you and take your gun, and then he shoots you with it. And you think that's his fault?
Yeah. I just love that part. And then he just walks out. He's just like,
He laughs about it, too, like right in the dude's face. Yeah, they leave, and or he leaves and meets up with Gleason. They have this conversation. And I don't remember exactly how that conversation goes because they end up going inside because he's going to get his stuff. Do they decide he's not going to let him go?
No, yeah. Yeah, he knew he wasn't
going to let him live.
No,
right?
No. So there he goes, I can't let this stand. You know, there's consequences. And so he goes, yeah. Where should we go? And he's like, somewhere quiet. And he goes, well, the bell tower's quiet. And so they're going up there. And
that's right.
Because the fat American guy had a heart attack at the top, the tower is supposed to be closed. And then the main guy that's taking the money, the ticket taker.
Yeah, Ray Fiennes kills that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he goes up there and there's a sign that says it's closed. And he's like, no, here's $50. And he's like, the guy starts tapping on his head. The sign says it's closed. And then he's like, and just punches him in the face. And then it just shows the shadow and Ray, and not Ray Fiennes. Well, he's beating him up, but Brandon Gleason turns around and sees him. He's like, just starts up the stairs. Like, this is just another thing.
So anyway, but they go all the way out of the top.
They go all the way up to the top.
And they see the view, but they're coming back down the stairs together.
So, yeah, they're talking about it, and he goes,
so I thought he decided to let Gleason live.
Yeah, so he does. So eventually they do, and then he shoots him in the foot. He goes, there has to be a punishment, and you're a friend, so this is it. Shoots him in the leg or the foot or whatever.
All right, so he's helping him back down the stairs.
And so they just barely start going down the stairs, and then that blinded guy sees Colin Farrell because he's back in town,
right?
Because he's trying to leave town, but the train stops because he punched the Canadian guy in the face
and he's on the train.
Yeah. And so
then, he reports it as a crime. And so they arrest Colin Farrell and they're going to take him back to Belgium.
Yeah.
At which point they just let him loose, or how does
he
get free?
He gets bailed out by the girl.
Oh, that's right. She bails
him
out.
So they're sitting at the same little table, or, you know, next to the
dining
same
area.
Table. Yeah, yeah. Dining area where the other two guys were. Yeah.
And the blind guy sees him. Mm-hmm. And he saw them going up the tower earlier, so he goes back to tell them,
yeah,
hey, your boy is in the town square or whatnot, as they're coming down the stairs. And that's when they turn on each other, because Fiennes knows that Gleason's not going to let him kill Colin Farrell.
Yeah.
That's what happens.
Yeah, and then Gleason gets kind of shot in the neck a little bit. And so then Ray Fiennes runs down. Well, I mean, if it was a lot of it, he would be dead.
That's a gusher, man. Doesn't he die right there on the stairs?
No. So he's holding his neck, and then he climbs, you know,
up to the top. He climbs all the way back up to the top.
And then starts dropping the coins down to, like, let people know something's happening. And he jumps off of the bell tower as a warning to Colin Farrell.
Mm-hmm.
And, then that's kind of where he dies. Man, that's such a sad, heavy
He
scene.
Lives through that fall, too, which is crazy.
Well, the bell tower doesn't look super huge, but
that's,
I mean.
That's still, tall, man.
I'm not arguing with you, but yeah.
I would just assume that's high enough to kill anybody. Which, I mean, he dies from that.
In seconds
and
afterwards.
The loss of blood from the gunshot, I guess. But, he lives just long enough to tell Colin Farrell.
Yeah. He says, take my gun, he's here. And then Colin Farrell reaches in there, broken gun. He's just like, So then he's got to run back to the hotel where he has his gun.
Mm-hmm.
And then, that's where the semi-shootout, not really shootout, happens.
Yeah, so Ralph Fiennes sees him run off, so he's following him.
Yeah.
And he's trying to lose him. Mm-hmm. So he's chasing him through town and shooting at him. So he's being shot at while he's running. He's going like through streets and back alleys. He gets back to the hotel, gets all the way upstairs, and then Fiennes shows up as he's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming back down the stairs. And they have this like standoff.
No, he hears him in the lobby. And
talking to the lady.
Doesn't want the lady to get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he yells down the stairs. He's like, hey, I'm up here and I've got a gun. Just like, I know you've got a gun. And I don't want this girl who's pregnant to get shot. Yeah. I don't want any more kids dying because of me.
Yeah.
So let's not shoot. You have to promise me I won't shoot and you won't shoot until she's gone.
Yeah.
So she's safe. And he's like, agreed. And then she's like, well, I'm not going anywhere because this is my hotel and I don't want a bunch of bullet holes in it. So she like sits on the stairs between them.
So and they both look incredulously at her like, what?
Because she's like this nice little lady, you know what I mean? And like, I don't know, she's just not going to put up with their crap.
All the characters
are... she calls him out. She's like, you guys are both idiots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and I like how all of the characters are really genuinely nice guys, but they're just in a terrible line of work, and they're just like...
Well, except for Ralph Fiennes. He's just polite.
Even then, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, I mean, kind of. When we see him with his family, he's a jerk to his family.
No. Well, because someone that was supposed to have been killed wasn't killed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean...
He is polite to her
stressed,
at the front
but
desk.
Then he apologizes to him. I like what he says to him. I mean, we're not going to repeat it, but it's pretty funny.
But he snaps at the ticket taker guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He makes fun of the blind dude. He's like...
Yeah.
You know, he's not... Like, of all the characters,
he's
the least
nice.
Endearing. Yeah.
But...
Anyway, so... Colin Farrell's like, look, if you look out the door and to the left, there's...
No, he doesn't even say which direction. He says, outside, there's the canal. If I go upstairs, I'm open the window and jump out. And so then he's like, okay, to my right or my left? It's a big freaking canal.
Yeah.
I just got
you
here.
You can watch me jump into the canal. I'll swim, and you can shoot at me from the bridge or whatever, you know? That way we're not shooting up this lady's hotel or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he's like, agreed. How do I know that you're not going to come back in here or whatever? And he's like, well, you'll see me jump out the window. So if you don't see me jump, then you know that I'm still inside or whatever. But I promise I'll jump. So they're like, all right, so when do we go? And so they have to like
on
count
three.
On three. One, two, three. And they both just take off running.
Well, I like how it's just quiet. And so then Ralph Fiennes goes, who's counting, me or you? I'll do it.
So he goes to jump out the window and there happens to be a boat
going
by with like a bunch of, I don't know. It's a larger boat going through
it's like
this
a little
canal
cargo thing.
Yeah. A little cargo boat. So he jumps and lands on the cargo boat and drops his gun and it falls into the river.
Yeah.
So then he's on the boat and Ralph Fiennes sees him and it's like, he says to himself, he's like, oh, there's no way he can hit me.
Yeah.
Too
they're
far
a good
away.
Distance away.
Right. A good distance away, but he's fully exposed on the top of a boat.
Yeah.
Like
I would have been wiggling around. Something.
He would have had a better chance in the water.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would have jumped into the water. I wouldn't have just stayed there, but he stays there and like his shirt's open. He's got like this white shirt on, this black jacket. So it's like a huge target.
Yeah.
And you see like Ralph Fiennes, he like, you know, he takes his time to make that shot and he nails him. He hits him with the first shot. And so then he has to like chase after him. Now the boat driver, he sees him jump onto his boat and then sees him get shot. So he's going to pull over. So he pulls over and Colin Farrell takes off running again and they're going and they go make it back to the town square where they're filming that movie with the little person. And kind of the same sequence of events unfolds that happens at the beginning of the movie. So he's shooting Colin Farrell from behind.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Farrell falls to the ground and there's a little body that's now missing
most of its head.
Most of its head. And Ray finds, sees that he's now killed what he thinks is a child.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't.
He can't live with it because he has principles and he says that.
Exactly, yeah. And that's why he's there to kill mm-hmm. Colin Farrell in the first place. So he shoots himself.
Yeah.
But Colin Farrell is trying to stop him and tell him it's a little person, but he can't because he's like riddled with bullets.
Yeah.
And he's bleeding out into the street. So he's like, no, it's not a kid. It's, you know, he's like trying to explain it, but it's too late.
I like how Ray finds though, he's talking to him and he's like, if I have no morals, I have nothing.
Yeah.
He pulls a gun out of his mouth to say that. Yeah, and without then puts my it principles, back.
I have nothing. Yeah. Shoots himself. Anyway, Colin Farrell lives.
Yeah.
He, the medics show up and they get him to the hospital. He lives through it. We assume he lives. Yeah, I assume he lives.
Yeah.
He looks much better off than he did when he was just laying on the ground. Yeah. You know, medics are taking care of him. The blonde lady is there
mm-hmm.
to see him through. So, anyway, crazy movie.
It's so good.
Yeah, ends just how it begins, basically. I don't know. The three main characters are very entertaining. All the side characters are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The least likable person in the whole movie is probably the little person.
Yeah. I just like how Colin Farrell's talking to him. He's like, so in your race war, it's not a race war. It's just a war. He's like, when the races are divided in your war, who are the Vietnamese fight with? The blacks. Who are the, I don't remember who he says, the Italians. It's a hard one. The blacks, though. It's just like, so it's everyone against like the really white people. Yeah.
I'm just pulling up some trivia on this movie here. It says when Peter Langchiles was, or Langchiles or Langchiles was executed in 1488, Maximilian of Austria's punishment was that Bruges keep swans forever.
Hmm.
I don't know what the historical significance of that is, but
I have no idea. It's interesting. Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson were nominated for Golden Globes, and Colin Farrell won the award.
The F word and its derivatives are said 126 times in this 107-minute film. Almost 1.2 F words every minute.
Yeah.
So when I was watching it back this week, I was obviously packing stuff up around here, mm-hmm. so I wasn't like paying 100% attention. Yeah. I had to rewind a few sections to see it again, you know?
Yeah.
But it didn't seem like
it was that
heavy
much.
With to me.
I mean, there was... It was noticeable, but
I knew they swore in this film.
Yeah, it was not like Wolf of Wall Street by any means.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's for a rated R movie. You know, you got to expect it a little bit. I don't think it was terrible. When you read that, though, it sounds really bad. But, I mean, there's some parts where the guy was like, that effing F. And so, I mean, there's two of them within a second. So, mm-hmm. averages out a little bit longer,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Apparently, there's a deleted scene where Harry's strict moral code gets a little more insight, I guess. So a young version of him is played by Matt Smith, where Harry discovers that his partner holding a dead woman in a club. So he marches into the police station and beheads the man who did it, a dirty detective. But it was cut because the CGI decapitation looked too fake.
Jeez.
Seems pretty brutal.
Yeah.
Also, not necessary, really. Like, I feel like you get a good feel for who Harry's character is without mm-hmm. that. I mean, they could have... A flashback scenario that I feel like we missed would have been Gleason talking about how his wife died. Like, that could have been the reveal for why Harry and him have the relationship they do, is a flashback to, like...
Yeah, you know. I mean, they could have, but it's easier just for him to say.
Well, yeah, I know, but I mean, I'm just saying, like, they filmed this beheading a police officer for some reason when they could have used that, and it accomplishes the same thing.
Yeah.
Ken and Ray check into the hotel under the names Cranham and Blakely, presumably after actors Kenneth Cranham and Colin Blakely, who played two hitmen in a television adaptation of Harry Pinter's The Dumb Waiter, which is one of the film's major influences, apparently.
Five of the actors in this film were in the Harry Potter franchise.
Who?
So,
well, Ralph Fiennes and Colin Farrell. I know who they are. Who?
Brendan Gleeson.
Who is he in Harry Potter
World? Alabaster Mad-Eye Moody.
Oh, okay.
The girl, Clemence Posey, plays Fleur Delacroix, I guess. The priest who gets killed plays Dumbledore. I think he's the replacement Dumbledore.
Oh, is he?
I think. That's what it says.
You know, in this movie, he kind of looks like Alan Rickman. Like, it's not him, obviously, but yeah, like when he was like falling down, like he gets shot, he's like got like long, dyed black hair and
longer
stuff.
Longer face flickering. Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, there's five actors in this that are in there.
Speaking of Colin Farrell and Harry Potter, that is, as you know, I'm not a Harry Potter fan.
Yeah.
I think one of the dumbest things that Harry Potter has done is turning Colin Farrell into Johnny Depp at the end of the movie as like their twist.
I have no idea. I haven't seen past the first one.
Okay. Well, in the Fantastic Beasts
movie. Yeah, I knew he was in that
part. Yeah, so he's basically gay wizard Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
And he's posing as like a wizard detective.
There needs to be a movie with gay wizard Hitler.
Well, that's like, again, a lot of people that I know are just like really into Harry Potter. So I hear their like nerdy conversations about it. But so this character, I don't even remember the name of the main villain, but in the Fantastic Beasts movie, he essentially, he's a homosexual character. So he's gay and he's a wizard, obviously. Mm-hmm. And he wants to exterminate all the like non-wizard people.
Hmm.
So that's gay wizard Hitler. That's who he is. So, I don't remember any of the characters' names, so that's just how I remember it.
Yeah.
But anyway, at the end of that movie, there's a reveal that Colin Farrell, like, he starts out as like a detective and kind of like the villain of the film.
Okay.
But because he's pursuing the heroes, not because he's doing villainous things.
Mm-hmm.
So he's kind of an antagonist, but he's like part of the law, right? Like wizard law or whatever. And then as the movie progresses, you see that he's doing something else. Like there's something up with this character. Motives. Yeah. He's not this clean cut detective. Like he's up to something.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the film, he's obviously like got something to do with this wizard who's going to like blow up and self-destruct for some reason.
Huh.
He like turns into this giant cloud that blows up or something. I don't remember all of the points of the film, but anyway, Colin Farrell is there.
Yeah.
And he turns into, like, the camera goes, like, behind him, and you can see him, like, shape-shifting.
Yeah.
But he turns into Johnny Depp, because Johnny Depp is playing gay wizard Hitler. So he's, like, disguised himself as Colin Farrell. Why not just have it be Colin Farrell?
Yeah.
Right?
That's weird.
Like, people talk about how, like, they don't know what he looks like. So you don't have to be, like,
doesn't have to be
disguised at all. He could just be him. So dumb. Anyway, I just think it's stupid. And I think Johnny Depp's in too much stuff.
That's the real issue here. The guy's in too many movies.
Well, I'm just saying he's like the same guy in everything now. You know what I mean? Like I personally, like I'm a Johnny Depp fan. I like a lot of his movies. I thought Black Mass was great. That's a newer film from him. You know, like he can do other things. It's possible. But when you're doing The Lone Ranger and Pirates and you're the same character in both franchises, well, one film for that one. And then you come over and do this and it's like, you're just being like, you're just making weird faces. It's like you're doing the same thing again.
It's hard to control your face when you're on cocaine and alcohol.
I guess.
It just kind of does this.
Anyway, I don't know.
Hmm.
I wasn't a fan of that twist, and I never saw the second one as a result. Yeah. I heard it wasn't good. That being said, I will say that first one, Fantastic Beasts, of all the Harry Potter, I've seen every Harry Potter film except for the second Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah.
That, in my opinion, is the best one of any of them. I thought I thought the gunfights were cool. They're not gunfights, they're wand fights, but it's like a shootout. Like they're actually like in the Harry Potter movies with the kids, they're like, I'm gonna say some funny words and point my wand and it'll do something. And it's like not exciting at all. But in this movie, it's like a shootout. Like they're just pulling their wands and like whipping spells, and it's like gunfire. Yeah. I don't know. It was cool.
Saying the spells in their heads.
Yeah, I guess.
So then the, well, because the adults will know, like, oh, he's saying this spell, so I can just counter it with this spell.
Exactly.
Got to keep it a secret.
Dumb kids.
Giving away all the information.
Anyway, in Bruges, I think it's excellent. Do you think it's excellent?
Phenomenal. I love it.
Excellent!
So that's what we got.
Yep. Do you want to do our stuffs?
Yeah.
Our stuffs?
Hopefully I won't butcher it this time. We're on Excellent Movie Adventures at Instagram, excellentmovieadventures@gmail.com, and send us messages either place. I want to hear from you. Oh, we're on Twitter too, Excellent Movie Pod. And catch our tweets.
Yep. So you can follow us at all those places. You can follow me at Pix Adventures on both Twitter and Instagram. Those are the only places I'm at. But let us know if there's a movie you want us to review, or if you've ever seen this, or if you agree with me about how, I don't know, any of my opinions were right or wrong. I don't know.
Only if you agreed.
Do you disagree, you think Colin Farrell needed to be Johnny Depp? I don't think Colin Farrell needs to be Johnny Depp. I think Colin Farrell is a great enough actor. He doesn't need to be Johnny Depp. Anyway, I guess we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Excellent.